Listen, those were great words to think about this morning as we start our service. And today, believe it for you. Believe it for you. It's funny because this morning me and my wife were talking about, it says when two or three are gathered, Christ is right in the presence. And then Myra today walks in with this thing to hang on the wall with that verse.
Aww.
Matthew 18. And think about this. Because a lot of times people take the church for granted. They'll come early and say, wow, great message. That was amazing. I was stirred up. God spoke to me. But then after time, we become familiar. It's very easy to become familiar with the pastor or with the church. And then you say in your mind, oh, I don't have to go this way. That church will be there. I'll come another time. I'll come later. But God is here. God is presence. This is what we come for, right? We come to receive from God. And he has something for you today. We had an amazing week with my dear friend. Pastor Julian and his wife, Natella, are here as missionaries from Romania. And they are on a three-month journey. I mean, it's hard to stay away for 2 days, you know, from home. But 3 months, they're traveling and ministering. And God's opening doors. And we have had an amazing week, like Steve said, in the rehab and Wednesday night service. Listen to it, because we're in the book of Revelations. And by the way, Wednesdays are going to get really good. Come to these classes. They're amazing. We've had, you know, the thing about it is I think we've had more people online listening than here. And that's fine, but we want you here. There's something more about live. You know, is it Memorex? It's better live. It really is. Don't kid yourself. So be here if you can, if God opens that door. In the study of the book of Revelations. It's been great. So, to do the intro today, Pastor Julian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, where two or three are gathering together, Jesus said, I am there. But also remember, there is a conflict, right? In the church, there will always be a conflict. And why? It's because the enemy is against the church. And when I come to the church, I need to come by the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh, but by the Spirit. So if sometimes I'm coming here crawling, you know how is that? I did it many times, you know, dirty, crawling, more like I don't want to go there. You know, many times in China, my wife, I was telling her I'm not going to church. And she was saying, no, you have to. I said, give me a motive. She said, you are the pastor and you are 40 years old.
That's a joke.
But it's true. It's true. Sometimes we are like that. Really. Sometimes we are like that. And I know, because the conflict is so heavy sometimes. But when we come here, we receive the provision. We come here to receive a word, a personal word from God. Okay? So I believe today we have something like that. I believe that God is speaking to us, and he is going to encourage us, to comfort us, because this is his place. This is his bride, right? We are his people, and he wants to encourage us. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for everything we have heard today. Thank you for the worship time. Thank you for the word, Lord, what Steve was speaking. And thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here to minister to us. Please, Lord, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last time we were reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 13 it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And we spoke about how we put all this together. Like, think about faith. Faith is dealing with our past, right? Our sins are on the cross. We know that we are saved and we have a new life. We have the Holy Spirit. And now, about the future, we have a living hope, knowing that Christ already has prepared a place for us. And we know that we are here for a purpose. And now, thinking about our present, it says that we our present, it's moved by the love of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's in verse 2, it says that we walk in the love. We walk by love. Right? So I want to understand, I want to hear, I mean, what God is saying. What is actually the love of God for us? So in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul has a prayer for us, for the church. And he's praying for the believers in Ephesus, but it's also for us. And in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." So Paul is laying a foundation. He says, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that every believer in this world will be strengthened in God. I want that the foundation, the root of, and the root and the foundation of our life, it says in verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So you see, the root and the foundation for our life should be love. The love of God. Because you know that God is love. And if God is eternal, his love is eternal. And he says, as believers, we need to be grounded and rooted in the love of God. To understand, what does it mean for us to be grounded and rooted in that love? That our foundation for everything to be the love of God. And then he says in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now I have two words for I think it's in King James and New King James, you have breath, right? Breath?
Yeah.
Breath, right? It's hard for me to understand these words. So look at this cross. And I want to tell you a story. When Napoleon was coming to Spain, they came to a monastery, a prison monastery. And in that prison monastery, the Inquisition, they used to have these Christians, born-again Christians. And they came to one of the cell, and there was only the bones, and there were the chains were still around the bones of this man's foot. But what they saw, it was very interesting. On the wall, there was a cross. And there are four words there, four words. And these were the words. He says, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. That's what kept him in faith in that place. He was grounded in God's love. He understood what is the breadth of God's love. It's that love which is enough for the whole world. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. God gave his son for the whole world. God gave his son for everyone. His love, it's breadth enough, you know, to include every believer. I mean, every person in this world. It's not about God who doesn't love, and that's why people go to hell, because people don't receive that. God doesn't want people to go to hell, but still, God gave free volition to people, and he has to respect that. So that the breadth of God's love, that God's love, it's for the whole world. And then we have the length. How long it goes, God's love. It goes for whole eternity. We heard this verse in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Even before the foundation of the world, even from eternity to eternity, God loved. And he will continue to love. And he will never give up on a believer, on a someone. He was loving the prodigal. And he was waiting for him to come back. God loves us for eternity. And then we have the depth of God's love. You know how deep God's love goes? It's like Paul says, I am the worst of all sinners. I am the greatest of all sinners. It's like John Newton thinking about the 20,000 lives he was taking, and he's writing this song, Amazing Grace. If you think that you are a sinner, think about Jesus went down to take from hell Paul, John Newton, and so many others. God's love can reach so deep to take you out from there and to save you. That's how deep he can go. And then we have the height. You know how high is God's love? That he takes us from here, from the miry clay, and brings us into heaven. That's our security. You know, like, this is God's love for every one of us. And we know that in Romans chapter 8, let's read that verse. I love it. It says in verse 38, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor hates, nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To be grounded in God's love. This is the commandment for us. To love. To receive God's love. And it says in Romans chapter 5 verse 5. That the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit. If we have received Christ as our Savior. And we are born again. And we have a new life. And then he says that, actually, how is working? Think about this. How is working? How the fruits of the Spirit are working in our life? The key for this, and I will finish with this, it's love. Think about this. What is joy? It's love singing. Isn't that amazing? That's the joy. It's love of God putting a song in our heart. And we have joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then, what is peace? It's love resting. We rest because I know I'm secure. I'm loved by God, so I rest in any kind of situation. It's like David saying that you put the table before my enemies. And I'm sitting at the table with God. And I'm eating. And I don't care what the enemy does around me. I can rest in the midst of the situation. Because I know that love sits with me at the table. I'm loved by God. Long suffering. It's love enduring. You know, I think about endurance. How can stand under pressure? You know, and it's what is the force in our heart to endure a situation, to endure, you know, trouble, to endure maybe a person, I don't know. It's love. It's love. I love it. I love, and because I endure. Then gentleness is the truth of love. That it's true expressed by love in our life. We walk in the truth. We walk by the word of God. And that makes us gentle. Then we have goodness. What is goodness? It's the character of love. There is this man in a camp, in a concentrated camp. And they, you know, he was so much persecuted and he was so much beaten. And one day, one of the guard came to him and said to him, I want to know Jesus. And this man said, why do you want to know him? You were persecuting me. He said, if Jesus is like you, then I want to know him. I want to know him. The character of love. Faithfulness. Do you know what is faithfulness? Love's habit. You know, I'm faithful because I love. It's a result of love in our heart. And then we have meekness. Meekness. You know, when we love and we give without asking, without, you know, showing up altruism of love. And then self-control. You know what is self-control? Love is in control. Right? I don't do it because I love. I keep my body under control. I keep, you know, myself under control. Love keeps me under control. So think about this. To have this foundation of God's love and to be rooted and grounded and to walk in this love. And when people will look, they will say, you know, I don't know about anything else, but I want to know you. And I want to know the one whom you worship, because I see that it's working in your life. And if it's working in your life, it will work in mine also. Amen.
Amen.